Let's turn to Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. We're going to pick up our study from last week. Last week we saw the birth of Jacob and Esau. And then we saw how Esau was a hunter. His dad liked him because he'd bring home game to eat. Jacob was another son who was a virtuous son, a son who loved God. Esau did not love God. Esau was the firstborn. He's the one that's supposed to inherit the wealth and the spiritual blessings of his father, Isaac, who received his spiritual blessings of promise into the very end, that he would be the seed of the Messiah, that he would be greatly blessed, all the nations of the world would be blessed through him, that everybody who cursed him would be cursed, everybody who blessed him would be blessed. Esau was supposed to receive that blessing. And he knew that because he beat his brother out of the womb by, a few seconds, minute, whatever. And he's growing up knowing he's the firstborn, he's supposed to get the blessing, but he doesn't care. Because he has a heart that's wicked. Like so many people that grow up, and they're raised in a Christian home, they hear all about God, they know about the promises of God, the promises of Christianity, loving Jesus, everlasting life, forgiveness of sin. But somebody else at school or whatever offers them drugs and this and that. I don't like this God thing. I'm going to go into the world. Live for the world. Well, Esau was exactly like that. And so there's a dilemma here. He's the firstborn. He's supposed to get the blessing. Jacob is the secondborn, not supposed to get the blessing, but Jacob has a heart for God. And I'm sure his mother told him that what God told her, which is, Jacob, God told me that you're actually going to receive the blessing. And so when Esau came back from a bad hunting trip, almost starved, unable to, he must have been like crawling home, famished. He says, Jacob, give me that bowl of porridge there. And Jacob says, not until you sell me your birthright. You promise that I get your birthright. And Esau goes, might as well. I'm going to die if I don't get your porridge. So, here's my birthright. Gave it to him. Didn't even care. The Bible says he despised his birthright. Now that leads into this week. This week we're going to cover in our study how actually Jacob now has to deceive, with the help of his mom, his dad, to give him the blessing associated with the birthright, the blessing that's supposed to be passed down from Abraham, Isaac, to what's supposed to be the firstborn. He has to deceive his dad because his dad wants to bless Esau. Even though his dad knows Esau hates God. Isaac lost his rudder. He lost his bearings on serving God. And we're going to see that this is how it plays out today. So we need to just have a little bit of a review to look at Rebecca so that we understand why she did what she did. Not going to justify what she did, but we're going to understand why she did what she did to deceive her husband. Genesis 25:21, it says, "Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If all is well, why am I like this?' So she went to inquire of the Lord," obviously a godly woman. "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, two people shall be separated from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" She now knows before they're born, older will serve younger, younger gets the blessing. She knows that from God. Okay? Now going to verse 28. "And Isaac loved Esau," because, Esau became a hunter. "Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob." Now it says Isaac loved Esau because of his fleshly desire to love to eat a really good meal. It'd be neat to know how big of a guy he was. It sounds like he was really, really loved what his son would bring home for food. And it says Rebekah loved Jacob because we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us why. But you can guess why. You can guess why. It says he was a mild man. We covered this last week. Mild man doesn't really mean mild, mealy man. It meant virtuous, God-loving, integrity man. In other words, if you look at the family, Isaac's losing it spiritually. Rebekah is growing spiritually. She loved the son that loved God. And you know what? As parents, we should love the children and pour the blessings and heapings on the children that love God. But even Christian families sometimes get deceived and, you know, how are your children doing? Well, this one's, you know, he's Ivy League, top of the class. He's an all-star baseball player. Going to go to the Mariners someday. What about your other one? He went to Bible school. Wants to be a missionary. Kind of a loser. You know, we've got things out of whack if we think that way. And we realize that it's not just run-of-the-mill. I mean, we as parents have a way of instilling in our children what's important to us. Did Isaac instill into Esau, boy, you know, you went out, you had a successful hunt. That was awesome. Kid goes, yeah, my dad thinks it's really important to do this. Football, baseball, soccer, this, that. That's what my dad wants. I'm going to please my dad. And he forgot to please God. And we have a lot to do with that. And we can decide what we consider important to our children. I think that Rebecca was fully aware that Jacob loved God, and that's why she loved Jacob. And then going to 26:34, what happens to Esau? How do we know how corrupt he is? When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And I would imagine if they were a grief of mind to Isaac, they're really bad. Because we've already figured out that Isaac's kind of lost it. And so, Esau married Canaanite women, floozies. And how bad were they? Let's go to 27:46, the end of the chapter that we're going to study today. And this is Rebecca's take on it. She might have been motivated to tell Isaac this for other reasons in addition to the reason that we obviously see here, but she's now looking at Jacob and tells Isaac, Rebecca said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Now Heth was the son of Canaan. So the Hittites came from, you know, it's another term, the daughters of Heth. When she's talking about the daughters of Heth, she's talking about her daughters-in-law of Esau. That's what she's talking about, even though the names don't totally meet with what we just did. She's going back several generations to talk about the daughters of Heth, which were made the Hittites, the Aramites, and Girgashites. I am weary of my life because of my daughters-in-law. If Jacob takes a wife of the Canaanites, the daughters of Heth, like these, my daughter-in-laws I have through Esau, who are the daughters of this land, what good will my life be to me? Again, we see that Rebecca is like, man, I hate getting together with Esau. He brings his Canaanite women and they're, you know, whatever the deal was with them. And it's like, what good is life when we see our children totally in the world? And you know what? The answer is, for those that have experienced that, you know, praise God, I haven't had to experience that as a parent. But I know hundreds of parents that have to experience the grief of their hearts loving God and seeing their children get into lifestyles and into marriages where they can't even have a family get together and talk about and worship God together. And to me, what a bummer that would be. It would be, and she says, you know, my life, what good is life if I can't, you know, if Jacob were to take these Canaanite women, I wouldn't even know what to do. So chapter 27, verse 1, it says, Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son. And, you know, Esau apparently is living off with his wife somewhere. So hey, I'm about to die, son. You know, calls him in, said to him, My son, and he answered him, Here am I, here I am. Then he said, Behold now, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. By the way, he doesn't die for another 43 years, so he's not very good at figuring out when he's going to die. But he apparently came down with some disease that affected his eyes, and he's probably, man, I'm going to die. And so he calls for his son. And now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, bow hunter. That's good because my my son and I are bow hunting now together. And go out to the field and hunt game for me. Probably, you know, like good old times sake, when you were in my house and I was raising you to be an all-star hunter. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. So here is this guy, lusting after a last meal. He's basically saying, man, I'm going to die. I want to have one more of my son's venison burgers. You know, is what he's saying. And then, even though he knows Esau is living in the world, living for the world, even though he knows his other son is living to serve God, he has completely forgotten about his father Abraham. He has forgotten about how Abraham was going to offer him, Isaac, on the altar in service to God, and was told all the history of why that was happening, how God provided a ram, knew all that stuff, and he's actually going to bless his older son. He really has lost his marbles. But could this happen? Will God bless those who hate God? The answer is no. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 8, after God talking about those he's going to bless with heaven, those people who love God that will be blessed with heaven, he says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He doesn't bless those that hate him. The truth is, people who hate God don't really want a blessing from him because they hate him, and his only blessing he has to offer is everlasting life in his kingdom where his laws reign, and they hate him because they hate his laws. So it is no blessing to go to heaven if you hate his laws. It would be eternal torment. Apparently worse than hell to have to live with the God of love forever according to his laws. So something has to change. And this is the mindset of Rebecca. Rebecca's thinking, and God, I'm going to help you. This cannot go down this way. Right or wrong, I can understand her. She knows this thing is about to go horrible, and so she is going to change it. And just looking at verse 4 again, and make me savory food as such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. And I thought, this is an interesting thing. He's thinking he's going to die. He doesn't have a doctor to tell him, you've got cancer, you've got 6 weeks to live. But many people do. I was pondering this and thinking, what an incredible litmus test. Litmus test means, you know, you can stick a piece of litmus paper, and the way they make it, you stick it into a liquid, and by the color, it tells you whether the liquid is acid or base. So that's what I mean by litmus test. Whether it's a basic or acidic, and it's pH, which maybe you don't know what that means. Anyway, what I mean by litmus test is whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. In fact, if you could go into your mind and just say, somebody tells you, you're going to die tomorrow. This is how I know you're going to die tomorrow. Ask yourself the question, what would be the most important thing to you? What would you be saying, man, I've only got one day. What am I going to do with my day? And Isaac was, man, I want venison from my pagan son. I want to eat that last meal. You know, I would say people in the world would say, man, I'm going to go to all the stores. I'm going to go get a brand new suit on my charge card. I'm going to look like I own $1 million, and I'm going to go to every car dealer in Washington. I'm going to drive a Lamborghini, and I'm going to drive a Hummer, and I got it, you know, because, oh, okay, your life is cars and what you can drive. Man, I'm going to go and play poker until, you know, on the internet or whatever. Oh, okay, you're worldly. I'm going to go with my girlfriend again. I'm going to go with my boyfriend again. I want to, or really, what should a Christian be thinking? You know, if you're a healthy Christian, you'd be thinking, man, my dad doesn't know about Jesus yet. My wife doesn't know about Jesus. I have 24 hours to tell people about Jesus before I die. And if the wife or son's like, yeah, we want to go do, I'm sorry, I've only got 24 hours left for Jesus on this earth to praise him, to worship him, to thank him, to tell people about him before I'm gone. That's a healthy Christian. And, check your heart. Where are you between the spectrum? What would you want to do? Well, Isaac, he wanted a meal. Now, Rebekah was listening, verse 5. When Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make me savory food for me that I may eat of it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. And she knows that's a violation of God's will. She knows that is a violation of the will of God. How does she know? Because God himself told her. And you know, there's women in the country that are having to deal with, Christian women in the country, knowing by the word of God their husbands are doing something in violation of the word of God. And actually, I would encourage some of the women to ponder this. I mean, Ephesians chapter 5, which I was going to go into, but we're kind of not going to have time, but it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. It talks about the husband being the head of the wife, and also as Christ is the head of the church, he's the savior of the body. And that applies to her too. It's the same Holy Spirit breathing this through the prophets and the apostles. And there's two camps about whether Rebekah was totally out of line, sinning against God, doing this deception that she's about to do, and there's others that are totally justifying it. Well, God also hates lying. He hates deceit. But what is a woman to do when she sees her Jesus-confessing, church-going husband running up credit cards to play poker online and is obsessed with it? And she says, this needs to stop. And he says, not until I make a million. And the wife can sit there and go, you know what? I'm more spiritual than you. And Las Vegas is a testimony of the fact that you're not going to make the million. They're going to. Look at the buildings they have. People lose. And so, you know, to me, if I've heard this stuff is going on around the country. And I haven't had somebody have to say, Kevin, what should I do? But I'd say, cut up every credit card. My husband told me not to. I don't care. Cut him up. Cut up every way. Cut the cord on the computer. Smash it. Say, okay, go buy another computer. He'll probably pay less for the computer than he would have lost that day on the computer. And keep smashing them. Because it's a deception. It will kill your family. It will lead to divorce. And how good is that? It will lead you into the poorhouse. You will be bankrupt. You'll lose your job. You'll lose everything. And so you've got to sometimes say, enough. You're deceived, husband. And the same thing for alcohol. And I have heard that. I have heard people that come to Jesus out of a life of alcohol, but Satan never gives up trying to suck you back into the bottom of the bottle. And then all of a sudden, they're back in it again. And all that goes with that, the drunken driving charges, the abandonment, and even I've had people who have come to Jesus, start to walk with him, fall back into that and hit their wives. And then I say, enough. And do whatever it takes. It's got to stop. And you know what? Part of my thinking on that, my thinking on that is, Rebekah, something has to stop here. Could God have done it himself? Could have. We don't know what would have happened. But Rebekah chose to do something to prevent her husband from doing something very, very foolish. Verse 8, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats. Two goats for one guy? Man, what an appetite. And I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. And she knew how to cook good enough to make a goat taste like whatever. And by the way, I've eaten at a restaurant in Africa where they basically keep coming to your table. Would you like alligator? Yeah, alligator, wild buffalo, zebra, everything known to me. They all taste different. They don't all taste like chicken. And so, Isaac knows what he's supposed to get, but he's going to get goat. So she has quite the job on her hands fixing it to taste what he wants. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death. A scheming lie. She is scheming a lie against her husband. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." Isn't it interesting? I will seem to be a deceiver. You know, people are, you know what? Boy, I don't want to, I better not get onto porn while my wife is here. She might come down and she might think I'm in adultery. No, you are in adultery, according to Jesus. You're lusting after people that are not your wife. It's adultery, according to Jesus. And so, you know, but we always want to defend ourselves. I will seem like this because, you know, if I get caught, we just need to admit to God what sin is and just, yeah, I am a deceiver, but what if I get found out? Again, Jacob, though, knows that he's supposed to get the blessing. He is going along to deceive his father with Jacob's mom, but he knows he's supposed to get the blessing. I'm sure Rebekah told him, "Jacob, God told me firsthand, you're supposed to be the one to get the blessing." And Jacob knows his brother is a non-believer. And Jacob has already gotten Esau to sell his birthright to him. See, as soon as Esau sold the birthright to Jacob, the birthright is the blessing. So he's even legally now wanting the blessing, because his brother sold it to him. But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, only obey my voice and go get them for me." She is a woman of faith. If he's going to curse anybody, it'll be my fault. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, who he must have left in the house before he went off with his wives of Canaan, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goat on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So had to dress Jacob up to have the skin of a baby goat on his hands. Esau was a hairy guy. And then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Oh, what a liar. And, you know, I can't even imagine. I mean, even if I'm thinking, God, we're doing the right thing here. And then I have the verses in the Bible about God hating lying. Well, actually, those verses haven't been written yet because they're in Proverbs. But he would have still known the God that we serve is a God who hates lying. "I'm your son Esau." "Oh, and I'm really Jacob. Come and bless me." But he's doing it what his mom said. And I personally think he shouldn't have done it. I personally think Rebekah shouldn't have done it. I think that God would have stopped his mouth from blessing Esau just like he stopped the mouth of Balaam from cursing Israel in the book of Numbers. But you know, the Bible talks about all things working out together for good. And the people that justify Rebekah, they say, look at Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. When the spies of Israel go into Jericho in the book of Joshua, second chapter, they go into Jericho and they go to the harlot's house. And they said, "Hey, what's the talk of the town?" Because harlots know the talk of the town. And she goes, "The talk of the town is everybody's afraid of your God. And you know what? I know your God is the only God, and I know all the gods of our people and here in Jericho are not gods, and I know you're going to defeat our people, and I want your God." And then she hides away the spies when the government officials of Jericho are coming. And when they come to her door, "Knock, knock, we heard some Jewish spies are here. We want you to give them to us because we're going to kill them," is what they implied. They didn't. The scriptures doesn't say that we're going to kill them, but that's what they would have done. And she goes, "They went that way." She lied. But it was a lie associated with her faith in God. It was her understanding that God wants these people to destroy my evil, wicked city. And so I don't want to turn the spies of God over to these evil, wicked men. And as a result of that, she's commended for her faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And so, and people struggle with this theologically, yeah, but all things work out together. But you know what? I'll tell you what. If I'm going to fail in serving God properly, I would rather fail trying to do what I know is God's will, which is what she's doing, than to fail doing what I know is not God's will. Running around, drinking, boozing, sexual immorality, you know, going off for the lust of the flesh, going, wasting my time, doing things, wasting God's money. I'd rather at least be shooting to do what's right, even if I fail through moral character like Jacob and Rachel did. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Jacob's going, "Boy, good thing my mom figured it out, how to do this." If Jacob would have come clean at that point, I wonder what Isaac would have done. I think he wouldn't have given the blessing to Jacob and would have cursed him, slapped him around based on what happens here a little bit. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He lies again by saying, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." He's really loving the creation. The field that has the animals that you have brought me, my son, to give me my last meal, a savory. And even though you marry pagan women, you care nothing about God. You despise your birthright. You've never been to Bible study. You hate Sunday school. You hate going to services. Because of that, I'm still going to bless you because you gave me a good meal. And that would have been a bummer, but he was going to do it. Let people serve you. He now blesses them. Let people serve you. Can you imagine if he would have blessed the people that have caused all the trouble in the Middle East, the hatred, hate mongers, those that live by the sword with this? Let people serve you and nations bow down to you, be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. He was saying, let Jacob, the lover of God, bow down to you, the God hater. Wow. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And you know, this is not just Isaac making it up. I mean, we can't bless our sons and just say, oh, let's do this. The Bible says, bless our son, so bless my son. This is something passed to him from Abraham by God. This is something that is a God thing. And you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, is actually sanctioning what Jacob and Rachel have been doing, because the Holy Spirit is actually speaking through him to give Jacob the blessing that exists to this day. And you know what? There's a billion people that want to curse Israel, the 5 million Jews right now, as we discussed during our earlier time. They want to curse them. But you know what's going to happen? The nations are going to bow down to them, and they're not going to be defeated, because cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. And that blessing is to Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, and those 12 sons have Jews that live to this day, and a good chunk of them are living in the Middle East, and they're not going to be destroyed. Because of this verse, because of this promise from God through the Holy Spirit working through Isaac, who doesn't have a clue, but God is still using him to give this blessing. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food, and he brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. Praise be to me. Bless me, father. Bless me, father." You know, it's like people, God haters, thinking they can go up to some man, "Bless me, father, for I have sinned." How many Hail Marys do I have to say to get right with God again? Get a blessing from God. What foolishness. Lies of Satan. The only blessing we can have is to get right with God, to repent of our sins, to turn away from our wicked ways, to realize that we have wicked ways, that we are sinning against Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, and He has His law, to turn away from them. And even though we know we can't stop doing them, we want to turn away. Then we come to God and we say, God, forgive me, a sinner. You should have taken care of me. You should have annihilated me because you're such a holy God. But I know that you love me because you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Even though we were yet sinners, He died for us. And I want to serve you and worship you and thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that washes me clean of my sins. And God, I want your blessing of everlasting life, not because I deserve it, because you want to give it to those who humble themselves before you. That's how we get blessed by God. And Esau didn't come with that attitude. He thought just a meal and, here, I'll give you a meal and bless me, Father. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly. That's how come I think if Jacob would have come clean, he would have been bothered. He's like, I didn't bless my firstborn. And where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. It was from God. I felt the Holy Spirit working through me. That person is blessed. It's not going to be changed. And Esau heard the words of his father, cried out exceedingly. We were going to finish the story, but let me just finish with that. Esau weeps and wails and goes nuts and says, but Father, he deceived me. No, he didn't. He just fulfilled what you did, Esau. You sold your birthright to him. And the birthright being sold to him by your own mouth because you despised your birthright sealed your deal. You know, Jesus said that men will stand before God and be accountable for their words. And you know what? I regret all the times this mouth spoke cursings and ignoring the God Almighty and His Son, Jesus Christ. The thousands of times I know this mouth used His name in vain. But I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus promised to erase those, to make that recording erased, so that when I stand before God, what He hears is that this mouth gives blessings to God in thankfulness for His sacrifice for me through Jesus on the cross. And everybody who has a mouth that has done that, instead of despising their birthright, their ability to be born again through Jesus Christ, everybody who blesses Jesus will be saved. But everybody that has cursed them to their dying breath, and cursing includes, Jesus said, ignoring Him, will stand before God, and they'll weep and they'll wail, and they'll say, your own mouth despised your birthright. And they will not see Jesus. And they will not see everlasting life. Esau wept and wailed, as we covered last week. The book of Hebrews says, though he wept bitterly, it couldn't change. It was too late. So, what does that boil down for us? Let's worship Jesus while there's time. Let's be thankful to Him. When we do still fall in sin, because we're still sinful creatures, let us remember with what sacrifice our Lord Jesus paid the price for sin. When we're raising our children, let's portray to them as fathers and mothers that their callings in life, whether they're going to play baseball, football, go to college, whatever they're going to do, they have to do something, but that there's something that's the most important thing. And that important thing is getting right with Jesus Christ. To getting right with God. And that we not, as parents, fall into the enticements of the world to the point where we actually give our children a reason to believe maybe it's not important to follow God. My dad will bless me even if I go into the world. Let's stand and pray. Father, God, I pray for your people. As we live in such an enticing time, Lord, so many savory things that Satan offers to this world in ways that are so easy to tap into, Lord, that are destroying the faith of some. And Father, I pray that you would help your people to stay free from these things, Lord. That you would help us to, as parents, to raise our children with a deep desire to serve and worship Jesus from a sincere heart. Lord, protect our children. Lord, as we know, the enemy hates them and is trying in every way to deceive them away from the truth. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Worshipfulness towards Him. And even just listening to it resound in this room, it's nothing compared to what we're about to experience in heaven, where we'll be joining millions of angels and all the saints that have loved God through all the ages. Pretty soon we're going to be worshiping Him. It's going to be an awesome thing. You can start now until the day He takes you home. God bless you, keep you in His care this week. In Jesus' name, amen.